For those of you who are with us this morning, you have walked into a very special morning, because once a year we set aside one Sunday for what we call Baby or Child Dedication Sunday here at Hoboken Grace. And that's what this morning is all about. And as we walk through this morning in all of our services, there are parents who are coming who are dedicating their children. And I know that for some of you, as we do this, that this is going to be the first time that you've ever experienced this. And again, we only do this once a year here at Hoboken Grace. So even if you've been a part of Hoboken Grace, this may be the first time that you've ever seen this. And so as we walk into it, what I want to do before we bring the families on stage is I want to kind of walk you through the commitments that we're going to ask these families to make. And I want to walk you through it so you understand what they're doing. But I also think that there's a lot in these commitments for all of us to be able to learn from, and that should impact and encourage every one of us as we're on this journey, no matter where we are. Whether you have kids, don't have kids, whether you're married, not married, I think there's something in this for every single one of us as we're on this journey of faith together. And so what I want to do is I just want to kind of walk you through them and then talk about, okay, why do we do this? What's the basis for this? What is God teaching us in this? And as the families come up here, we're going to ask them to make three commitments before you. Three commitments to God before you. The first one is this: do you commit to raise your child as God's? What a special gift you've been given for a season. In other words, do you commit to raise this child believing that God loves your child more than you do, that God knows your child better than you do, and God has a better plan for your child than you do? That third one's really hard, especially for us dads, because we have great plans for our kids. We have great plans about which sports team they're going to play for. For example, last night I was planning on how my oldest Caden can eventually make sure that Michigan never loses to Michigan State the way that they did yesterday. Because there is a deep, sorrowful, just sore in my soul this morning based on what happened last night. But we have these plans. We have these plans for where they're going to go to school. We have these plans for what they're going to be good at. But what we're asking for these parents to do this morning is to recognize the truth. The truth that while we may have good plans, while we may have the best of intentions behind our plans, the truth is that God is the one who created these little ones, and they are not ours. They're just a gift that we've been given for a season, and that we've been given an incredible influence in their lives, but that they are His, and His plan for them is far better than any plan that we could imagine or that we could come up with on our own. Listen to these two passages. You say, why do you do this? Why do you believe this? Listen to what it says, Psalm 139:13. It says this. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God's talking to Jeremiah about this same truth. And he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And as God steps into our lives and steps into our story, he comes to us. And one of the foundational truths that he's establishing in our lives is this truth: you're not an accident. And again, this isn't something that just applies to parents as we're interacting with our kids. This is something that applies to every single one of us, that you are not an accident. And that as you sit here today, God has a plan for you. For some of you, this may be the first time that you've ever heard this. If you get nothing else out of today, make sure that you grab a hold of this. What you see in Psalms, Jeremiah, what you see throughout the scriptures that God's teaching us, that, you know, I have a plan for you. And inside of the story, I've created you to be a part of my story in a very specific and beautiful way. And as these parents come up here, this first commitment that we're asking them to make is a commitment to say, you know what? I may have well-intentioned plans. I may have great dreams. But more important to me than my dreams and my plans is God's plan. And as I interact with this little one, my commitment is to do all that I can to help them discover God's plan for their life, to trust that he loves my child more than I do. And as a parent, that's very, 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 you could go on and on, hard to do. Very hard to do. Because you think it wouldn't be possible for anyone to love your child more than you do. But God has made it very clear that his love is far greater than our love. I mean, he demonstrated that with Jesus Christ and his willingness to give his son for us. And the reality that he gave his son for these children, and that God is far more passionate for these little ones than we could ever even imagine being. And so rather than trying to raise our kids to follow us, the commitment is that we would raise these little ones to follow him. Again, this is something that we all can learn from. Because when it comes to those that we're influencing and those that we're loving, sometimes one of the hardest things to do is to trust that God is as passionate or more passionate about them than we are. But it's crucial. It's crucial in the way that we relate to him and whether we try to create relationships where people are dependent upon us or whether we are pointing people consistently to him. And so this first commitment is a commitment to raise these little children as his. The next one sounds a little interesting the first time that you read it. It says this, it says, do you commit to teaching and training your child to one day leave? Which for some of us is harder than others. For me, that's very easy because I told Anna from the day that our kids were born, 18 years, that's it. 18 years and you're gone, okay? That's the commitment, that's the contract. And I've told my son Caden that several times. You got 18 years, bud. Make the most of it because then you're on your own. But for others of us, this is harder. And it's about more than that, right? Do you commit to teaching and training your child to one day leave by putting your relationship with God first, by putting your marriage second, and by putting your child third? As parents, one of the things that you learn very quickly is that your kids, as they grow up, are not going to do what you say. You know this because they never do what you say. Even from the beginning, there's no illusion of this. But they will do what you do. And so as these parents are making these commitments, the commitment that we're asking them to make is to not just lead in their household, to not just influence these children by what they say, but to influence them by the way in which they live, the priorities with which they live. Because the priorities that you demonstrate will be the priorities that are built into their very character and nature. And so rather than coming in and putting yourself first, that these parents are saying, no, I'm going to put God first in my life. I'm going to make sure that my kids see that he is first and foremost. I'm going to make sure that my kids see that my relationship with my spouse is second. And when you look at how the scriptures teach us this, there's a passage in Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to them about the relationships that they have, specifically inside of the family. And he's teaching them that inside the family, all of us are responsible to submit to one another the way that Jesus Christ served and gave his life for us, the way that he submitted. We're called to submit to one another. And so as he begins Ephesians chapter 5, he says, listen, you need to do this the way that Christ did this. And then he begins to break down the different relationships. Our first submission is our submission to God and saying, you know what, I'm here to serve you, to love you because of the way that you've loved me, because of the way that you gave your son for me. And so I'm going to put that relationship first. And then he begins to talk about husbands and wives and the way that they submit to one another. He's talking about this with husbands in Ephesians 5:25, where he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What is he talking about? He's talking about submission, that you put them above yourself. And he's walking through this, and he starts with our relationship with God. He continues with our relationship with one another. And then as he comes to the end, he talks about how as parents, we're to submit to our kids, and as kids, we're to submit to our parents. And it's this whole passage on how inside the family, we're called to submit to one another. And as he's walking us through this, he establishes this set of priorities that, okay, I'm going to put God first, and then I'm going to put my relationship with my spouse, and then I'm going to put my kids third. This is crucial because you're establishing for them the priority in your life. Right? I remember watching this in my dad's life. And there was really only one time in my dad's life that I couldn't step in and interrupt. I could interrupt just about everything in his life, but when he was having his time with God, we knew that was off limits. It was just off limits. We weren't allowed to interrupt during that time. And that taught us so many things about the priority that God deserves. About the priority that God deserves. Growing up, my dad would tell us over and over again, "I love you, just not as much as your mom. I love you, just not as much as your mom." And when you do that, when you establish this priority where you're loving God first and you're loving your spouse second, what you do is you establish a healthy foundation for your child. And really, again, it goes beyond just parenting. You establish a healthy foundation for the people around you. And so we're calling them into this commitment that I'm going to put him first. I'm going to put my spouse second, I'm going to put my child third. Now notice the commitment is not, I'm going to put God and then my spouse and then me and then my child. Because again, in Ephesians 5, we're called to submit. And that means that as parents, we also submit to our kids, that we're going to sacrifice ourselves for them and do all that we can to point them to Christ and to bring them to Christ, to serve them and love them. You're establishing this foundation, teaching them this thing that's critical that they don't know. As a matter of fact, some of us don't know, which is why sometimes this priority is like us. And then, but we're trying to teach them and establish in their life that you're not the center of the world, because they believe that they are. Believe me, as a father of three, I can tell you, they believe that they are the center of the world, and they do everything that they can to make sure that they are the center of the world. My third son has this scream that he lets out, and it's him saying, "I'm the center of the world, and I'm not feeling that way right now." And not just with what we say, but with the way that we live, we're reestablishing the foundation of okay, what are the priorities that we want for them to grow up with? And sometimes as parents, we make the devastating mistake of teaching our children to depend on us rather than depend on God. When you teach your child to depend on yourself rather than depend on God, when you fail, they will fail as well. When you fall, they will crumble. And so what we're talking about here is teaching them to depend on God, because he's really the only one who won't let them down. And then the third commitment that we're asking them to make is, do you commit to creating a safe place for your child to meet Christ by being humble and growing in Christ yourselves, by welcoming rebuke when you are wrong, by being the same people in public that you are at home? 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." And the third commitment that we're asking them to make is a commitment to be real. There's nothing that will discourage these little ones from knowing and experiencing Christ more than being someone when you're at home and being someone else when you're here. Because as they see that breakdown, as they see that inauthentic life, they look at it and say, "You know what? It's not real." And so 1 Peter 5 comes to us, and God's calling us out of that and saying, "Listen, just be humble. Clothe yourself in humility to be able to admit when you've made a mistake. I feel like my wife and I do it so much now that my son basically expects it and looks forward to it of all the different times when we have to step into his life and say, you know what, I screwed up. It's gotten to the point where he's just like, yeah, I know, you do it a lot. But where we have to step into his life and say, you know what, I screwed up. And I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have reacted that way. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't. And to be able to step in and say, you know what? I did that because I was embarrassed, not because. And there's all these different times. But God's coming to us and saying, listen, your kids don't need perfect parents. Your kids don't need to see this perfect lifestyle. What your kids need is to be able to see the grace of God working in your life. And they cannot see grace if they do not see your flaws. And to say, you know what, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to allow them to see that I'm not Superman, I'm not Superwoman. I'm going to allow them to see when I've made a mistake. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to welcome it. So that they can see a real God working in a real life. Doing all that we can to allow them to see God in an everyday world and an everyday life. As these families come up here, we're going to ask them to make those three commitments. But again, this is not something that anyone or any couple should ever do alone. Even as we talk through these commitments, I hope that you're looking at it the way that we should look at it to be able to say, how could you possibly do that? I mean, how could you live that out consistently day after day after day? You're not going to be able to do that perfectly, and there's no way that you can do it alone, which is why when we walk through these dedications, we don't just ask the families to make commitments to us. We actually make commitments back to them. And so as I bring these families up here, I'm going to ask them to make these three commitments, and then I'm going to turn to you. Because they can't and they should never have to do it alone. And so I'm going to ask us to make a commitment back to them. And this is the commitment I'm going to ask you to make. Hoboken Grace commits to create a safe church family by joining together to fight gossip and broken relationships in our church family, by admonishing each other when we are wrong, by welcoming rebuke when we are wrong as a church, by showing the authentic love Christ has for each of these children. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment back to them that, listen, you don't have to do this alone. And not only are we asking you to commit to be authentic, but as a church, we're going to commit to be authentic as well. And the reality that sometimes not only are we going to have to apologize as individuals, but sometimes we're going to have to apologize as a church that we just blew it and we made a mistake and we're going to have to ask for forgiveness. We're broken people. This is reality. And our confidence and our hope and our faith is not found in our perfection. Our confidence and our hope and our faith is found in the overwhelming grace of God. And to create a place where these kids can see that. A commitment that we're going to do all that we can to fight against gossip. In 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking to the Corinthians about the things that destroy the church. And listen to what he says. He says, I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. In other words, I know that you're struggling with these things. He says, and you may not find me as you want me to be. In other words, he says what he's saying to them, I'm going to be really upset, and this isn't going to go necessarily the way that you think because these things are happening inside the church. He says, I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, faction, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. He's talking about these things that are dividing the church. And throughout the New Testament, the writers are talking about, and you hear the gossip over and over and over again. There is nothing that will destroy our ability to be able to love these kids. There's nothing that will destroy our ability to create a place for them to know and meet Christ. There's nothing that will destroy our ability to live out the mission that Christ has given us faster than gossip. And so the commitment that we're making is a commitment to actively work against gossip inside of our family. This isn't just that we won't talk about people behind their back. This is that we won't listen to other people talk about people behind their back. In the scriptures, not only do they call out those who are talking behind others' backs, but he also calls out those who are listening to it. He says, you shouldn't even hear it. And from the moment that it starts, you need to send that person back because they're responsible to go to the person who's wronged them. They're responsible to go to the person that they have a problem with or that they have an issue with. And so as a church, we're committing to actively do that. And so I call you to that commitment today. It's always interesting when people come to me. People always want to tell me what's happening. And so they'll come up to me and start telling me a story. I'll say to them, wait, I can't listen to this. And they'll say, oh, well, I'll go talk to so-and-so. No. You need to go talk to this person. They say, well, I can't do that. I said, no, the scriptures say that when you see something that's wrong in someone's life, that you need to go talk to them. And they said, I don't think I can do that. And I said, and I'll say to them, well, then I need to talk to you about something that's wrong in your life. Which surprisingly has ended a lot of conversations and a lot of people coming to me. But the idea is, listen. Jesus gave his life. To bring us and our neighbors and our coworkers and the world around us back to Him. And there's nothing that will keep us from living that mission. There's nothing that will destroy our ability to live that mission more than gossip. And so we have to commit to be adamantly against it. So that these little ones can grow up in a place that demonstrates in a place in which they're able to see the real, authentic love of Christ. So that our city and our world can see it. This is the commitment that I'm asking you to make. And as we walk through this morning, this is what it's about. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask these families to come up here and I'm going to ask them to make these commitments. And I have individuals who are going to be coming up who are going to be praying over these little ones. But I would encourage you as we do this for you to be praying over them as well. Just asking God that He would strengthen and build into these families and to these little ones. So that this isn't something that you just observe today, but that this is something that you participate in. And the beauty of what God wants to do and their lives. Would you guys welcome Michael, Heather, Jackson, and Henry? Michael and Heather, as you take this step, I have three questions. Number one, do you commit to raise your children as God?
Yes.
Do you commit to creating a safe place, or do you commit to teaching and training your child to one day leave through the way in which you relate to Jesus yourself?
Yes.
Do you commit to creating a safe place for your children to meet Christ?
Yes.
This morning, as the children are on stage, someone from each of their Grace Kids environments is with them, praying over them, and then I've asked for Nick to come and to pray over Jackson this morning.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for Jackson. We're just an honor to be a part of his life. And we just thank you that you chose him to be the bigger brother for Henry. And we just pray that we can help lead him into a relationship to know you. And I pray that we can come alongside Michael and Heather and just help them as they go through the challenges in life and whatever comes our way. We just pray that it's your grace and your truth that's going to bring us through. In the name of Christ.
And then this morning, Rachel will be praying over Henry.
God, I thank you so much for baby Henry. He's such a blessing. And I thank you so much that Heather and Michael just have a desire to follow you, that they've been faithful in following you. I just pray that Henry is able to see that and that he's able to experience that love and that he's able to experience you. I pray that you continue to be at the center of their family and that we as a church can support them in every and any way possible. love you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Next, would you welcome Ben and Vanessa and Gabriel? Ben and Vanessa, I have three questions. Number one, do you commit to raise Gabriel as God's?
Yes.
Do you commit to teaching and training Gabriel to one day leave through your relationship with Jesus Christ yourself?
Yes.
And do you commit to creating a safe place for Gabriel to meet Christ?
Yes.
I've asked Justin if he would come this morning and pray over Gabriel.
Father, we are just so grateful for the gift of Gabriel and how you brought him to us. And we're also so thankful for Ben and Vanessa and the way you are staying committed to love you and to follow you with all of our hearts. And I pray that Gabriel will see that he will see Ben and Vanessa and how much they love you and how much they serve you and how much they care about you. And I think he will see that and catch that fire in his own life. And that he will follow you with all of his heart and be a man after your own heart. Just thank you so much for the opportunity to love Gabriel. Thank you for entrusting him to us. And I pray to all of us that we will work with Ben and Vanessa to help lead Gabriel to you, help him find his way to you, and that you will love him with all of his heart. Thank you so much for everything you're doing for us. We love you.
Amen. And next, would you welcome Monica and Jeffrey with their boys, Jordan, Joaquin, and Julian. Monica and Jeffrey, I have three questions. Number one, do you commit to raise your children as God's? Do you commit to teaching and training your children to one day leave through your relationship with Jesus Christ yourself? And do you commit to creating a safe place for your children to meet Christ? This morning, I've asked for CJ to come and pray over Jordan.
God, we just want to say that we think you're amazing. We thank you for the ways in which you take care of us and just for your sovereignty and goodness and just seeing that played out, bring joy into this world. We thank you, just wonderful parents, a wonderful church family. And God, we just ask you today that Jordan would come to know you. We talk each and every morning about how people find their way back to God. And one of the neat ways we get to see that played out is just through the raising of children, whether that be through parenting, or through our time on Sunday with Grace Kids and with the teaching. So just pray that Jordan would come to know you, that he would just be used as an instrument of your glory. And we thank you that his parents have committed to seeing that play out, and we pray that we would see that play out. We love him, and it's in your son Jesus' name. We lift all this up to you. Amen.
Amen. And then Calvin, you can make your way over here, man. Calvin's going to be praying for Joaquin.
Lord, I just want to pray for Joaquin. Just thank you for him and his energy, his spunk, his fun, and his care and love for others. I pray that you can just use him through the years so he can share that with everyone that he comes in contact with his parents, with his siblings, with his friends, with people he doesn't know. I pray that he would just have such an awesome, personal, vibrant relationship with you, trusting you every step of the way, and just experiencing your grace and love, and again, just sharing that with others, being a light for others to see you, being, just when people see him, when people are around him, they'll know he's different because of you, Lord. Just pray for Jeffrey and Monica as they, build into him, love them, just encourage them every step of the way, and their pursuit of you and their pursuit of each other would just be a great example for Joaquin. In Jesus Christ's name, pray, amen.
Amen. And then Sarah is going to come and pray for Julian.
God, I thank you so much for Julian. Thank you for the gift of life that he has.
first smile and the way that he loves and cares for his brothers. And I thank you, Lord, that he is a man after your own heart. And I pray, God, that he will grow in strength and love to be a man of character and integrity. Thank you, Lord, for these three brothers and how you have created them to be strong and go on adventures together. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless their family as they just submit their lives to you this day. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. And now, in response to these families, I ask you, and if you intend to stand behind these families, to do all that you can to help them to be able to keep the commitments that they've made today, to do all that we can to create a safe church family for these little ones to grow up in, to do all that we can to help them know and experience God's love, then I would ask you to respond with a strong, "We do."
We do!
That's not good enough. Do you intend to stand behind these families, to do all that we can to create a safe church family for these little ones to grow up in? If you will stand behind them, respond with a strong, "We do."
We do!
Much better. Will you pray with me? Father, I just want to pray over each and every one of these little ones. Father, I just pray that this morning, as we move forward from this place, that for the families, for the parents, for the little ones, that today would be something that would just drive us towards you, realizing that we are completely dependent on you to be able to carry out what we have committed to today. I pray that their commitments today in the lives of these parents, that it would move them towards you every morning, realizing that they need you in order for this to become a reality in their children's lives. I pray that as a church that we would just continue to move forward on our commitment to these little ones and doing all that we can to make sure they experience your love through the way in which we love them. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of their lives. We don't deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.